Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. Chapter 1. May 1944. Inside each of the locked cattle cars, 90 people were jammed. The stench of the urinal buckets, which were so full they overflowed, made the air unbreathable. The train of the deportees. For 4 days, 40 identical cars had been rolling endlessly on, first across Slovakia, then across the territory of the central government, bearing us towards an unknown destination. We were part of the first group of over 1 million Hungarian Jews condemned to death. Leaving Tatra behind us, we passed the stations of Lublin and Krakow. During the war, these two cities were used as regroupment camps, or more exactly, as extermination camps. For here, all the anti-Nazis of Europe were herded and sorted out for extermination. Scarcely an hour out of Krakow, the train ground to a halt before a station of some importance. Signs in Gothic letters announced it as Auschwitz, a place which meant nothing to us, for we'd never heard of it. Peering through a crack in the side of the car, I noticed an unusual bustle taking place about the train. The SS troops who had accompanied us now were replaced by others. The trainmen left the train. From chance snatches of conversation overheard, I gathered we were nearing the end of our journey. The line of cars began to move again, and some 20 minutes later stopped with a prolonged, strident whistle of the locomotive. Through the crack, I saw a desert-like terrain. The earth was a yellowish clay, similar to that of eastern Silesia, broken here and there by a green thicket of trees. Concrete pylons stretched in even rows to the horizon, with barbed wire strung between them from top to bottom. Signs warned us that the wires were electrically charged with high-tension current. Inside the enormous squares bounded by the pylons stood hundreds of barracks, covered with green tar paper and arranged to form a long, rectangular network of streets as far as the eye could see. Tattered figures, dressed in the striped burlap of prisoners, moved about inside the camp. Some were carrying planks. Others were wielding picks and shovels. And farther on, still others were hoisting fat trunks onto the backs of waiting trucks. The barbed wire enclosure was interrupted every 30 or 40 yards by elevated watchtowers, in each of which an SS guard stood, leaning against a machine gun mounted on a tripod. This, then, was the Auschwitz concentration camp, or, according to the Germans, who delight in abbreviating everything, the KZ. Not a very encouraging sight, to say the least. But for the moment, our awakened curiosity got the better of our fear.